Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos with Sister Amen. Are you ready, Sister Amen?
I am.
We are back once again. The Lord gave us another day.
He did.
And we're thankful for this day. Thankful for this day, Sister Amen.
Oh, very. I woke up being thankful for a nice, solid shelter.
Amen, amen.
It was blowing so hard
last we'll talk
night.
About that in a minute. We got blown all over the place. But
yeah.
We're calling this, I guess we're going to call this today, Anabaptists and Others Get the Gospel. Yeah,
right.
Well, we hope you're all doing well and striving. I have a scripture verse to start out. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So yeah, we hope that we start out every day. We want to start out every day with the great hope that we have in the Lord.
Amen.
So yesterday, we posted about it, and we have a witness post up with video.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting in a park late at night. We were there in the afternoon, and then it got dark, watching worldly people play basketball or baseball.
We
saw them there. And then, we saw them there. We were parked there working online, and as we were parked there, they were all showing up to do their baseball. Then a bunch of Mennonites showed up to play baseball.
Yeah, after everybody else left.
Yep, and so we walked up, and I witnessed to them, and then we went back and witnessed to them again. It was pretty sad. They were more interested in softball than the gospel, the shed blood of Jesus, loving us, loving the truth of God. So you can go check out that post.
There was one man, though.
Yep, there was a couple men that were hanging their heads while I was preaching, and I could only imagine they might be thinking, I can't believe this man. They listened to me earlier for 15 minutes, and then I came back to preach, and all their friends were kind of mocking and ignoring me, and they both kind of hung their heads, and I'm thinking in their hearts and their minds was, I can't believe that this man is preaching the gospel of Jesus and our friends just want to mock and play baseball.
Yeah,
and we hang out with them.
Yeah.
So check out that post. Sister Amen will have it at the top of the edification page. Yep. And today we traveled to another town. But before we left, I told Sister Amen the night before, hey, maybe we'll stop at the marketplace over there and use the Wi-Fi and get some things done before we leave. And then this morning we said, maybe we won't. It's getting late. And then I said, I think we need to go there. We went there, and what happened, Sister Amen? We went to the marketplace. We're working online.
Witnessing went on.
This older Mennonite couple walk in. And by the way, I just want to say this. If people think we target Mennonites, no. We witness to them. Why? Because we can see that they're people of faith by their head coverings that usually aren't biblical, or the men with their little black hats. Ready? Every Mormon I see that wears the name tag that says Elder Mormon. Sister Amen, do I go witness to them?
Yeah, everybody's like advertising their faith.
How about the Catholic priests that walk in and they got a tag and their collar on? Do I go witness to them?
Yep, or how about the big buses, you know, the vans that say Baptist such and such on it?
So don't ever think that we just target the Anabaptists, but when we're in a store and we see covered ladies and men that are proclaiming to be different, we go talk to them about the things of God, whether they're Catholic, Mormon, a cult. Sometimes we see people walking around that look like a cult, and we go, what are you guys about? And we talk to them.
Why
people
not?
Stand in front of Walmart representing ministries. We talk to these people.
Because look at what the world does. If they're a police officer,
amen,
they're like, hey, you're a police officer too, and they talk.
So we approached, or excuse me, as they were walking by, I handed the man a gospel card. We had about a 15-minute conversation. We did get an audio of it, and we're going to be putting a testing up of this man's church. It was very cordial, and they walked away, but it's always the same with the Anabaptists. You preach the gospel to them, they kind of agree with it, and then when you show them where they're falling short because you love them, they say, well, I believe I'm okay, I'm following and obeying Jesus, and we say, you're not obeying Jesus. Here, 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 here. They go, well, okay, we got to get going. And they leave, and I offer them my phone number. We don't hear back from them. I offer them meetings with their elders and their pastors or their ministers. They're blind. They love what they have, but you know what? We keep doing it because we don't know what's going to happen. On their deathbed, they might start seeking. We don't know if maybe down the road they'll start seeking. These young people we preach to, I might be dead and gone. One day they'll start seeking. We go to be faithful to God first, preach the gospel. So it's a loving thing that we do to them. So that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Got to witness to them, and they walked away. Then what happened? And the lady sitting right next to us in the booth.
Yeah, there was a woman sitting there, and she kept smiling at me every time I walked by, which was only a couple times. And I was going to give her a gospel card. I was packing things up, going to go get things ready while Brother Tupos was wrapping things up. And I stopped by, gave her a gospel card. And because she was sitting there and I approached her table, I was there for maybe less than a minute. But I quickly went through the gospel card and telling her the gospel's on one side, warning her about man-made religion on the other one. And yeah. She was really friendly, really kind about it. She said she saw our van.
Yep.
And she assumed that was
gospel
us.
Signs, yeah.
Yeah, so she got the gospel card. Hopefully she reads it and goes way deeper than she has been.
Oh, by the way, the Mennonite man we witnessed to in the same place, he said, oh, that must be your van with the signs. He saw our signs.
Yep.
He knew that we were Christians. He saw my covered wife. He saw me. They were ready to walk out of the restaurant and not even say a word to us.
Right.
So that's, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
They're not very interested in sharing the faith.
No, and that was one of the points one of the many points that you brought up. Yeah.
So then later we hit the road, started driving, and we stopped at a place where we had to do business. And what happened to a lady that we witnessed the gospel to?
Yeah, a young woman gave her a gospel card, and she was like, oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad you stopped here. And it was like...
It was like we handed her a $100 bill.
I know, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
so,
she was thankful, and she said she was going to look at the website. And then right across the street was an Aldi's.
Uh-huh.
And so I sent... Sister said she wanted to go in there. I said, you go by yourself. I got to do some stuff in the van.
Yeah, we saw Amish and... Or Anabaptist
areas. Yeah, we're in Anabaptist territory.
Yeah, and so I went in there, and there was a handful, I don't know, two or three, four couples...
Families, yeah.
Yeah, of husband and wives Amish. And I was kind of walking through trying to make eye contact with them and see if there'd be an open door. And I'm really careful to be approaching the men and the women. I mean, I could go ahead, and if there's a woman, I will. Not that I can't, but because Brother Tupost was there, it just didn't seem right. But then I saw a Mennonite woman, and she smiled, and she seemed open and friendly. I was like, okay, maybe this is it, because I was, like, asking the Lord to open up the door, and I kept wandering up and down the aisles. And she smiled, so I walked up to her, and I gave her a gospel card, and I challenged her. I said, have you ever thought about why you're named Menno? I said, you know, the Bible calls that sinful. We're not supposed to. And I said, have you ever looked into the origins of Mennonites? Have you ever tested what they teach you to the scriptures? And she said, no. And I said, well, you should, because your soul depends on it. And then I told her how all the other religions out there, all the other denominations, they don't line up with the scriptures either. And I didn't get to only talk to her for... a few minutes.
You said she was really nice about it, though.
She was. She was, like, really nice about it.
Which is rare. They usually snub us.
Yeah, or they seem a little bit... They might smile, but it's kind of that cold, get-away-from-me smile. She was really nice, and I would love to talk to her a little bit longer, but the aisles were pretty packed, and I was kind of blocking the aisles, so I left. And so I checked out, and I went back, and
you
I
come
told,
back to the van.
I told Brother Tupost all this, and I said I felt bad because I would have liked to witness to the men and stuff, but...
And I saw two more Anabaptist men walk in the store, and I said, I'm going in. Wait here.
Yeah, I was like,
I went in. You ready? Here's what's called a gospel card blast. I walked into Aldi's, not to buy groceries. Sister Amin was done. I saw an old Amish man. I walked by him, and I gave him a gospel card. We have a card specifically for Anabaptists. And I said, you Anabaptists like to read, don't you? And he goes, we do. I said, read this, or it'll help you see the true gospel. And I said, the Anabaptist faith is not telling you the truth. He goes, well, thank you very much. And he took it and went the other direction. I walked around the corner, two Amish men. I said, hey, you guys like to read. I said, here, check this out. I said, the biblical gospel. I said, the churches and even the Anabaptist faith is not telling you truth. Did you know that? And one of the guys was standing there shaking his head like, yeah, I know, we keep a bunch of traditions. I said, you read those cards. My phone number's on there. I didn't want to bother him too much. The store was busy. I go walking past. I see the young woman that Sister Amin witnessed to. And I go walking out of Aldi's. I'm walking out of Aldi's, and here's an Anabaptist man, his wife, and a regular man. They call us English, but he's just a regular man, trying to get their carts unstuck, because Aldi's has where you use a quarter to get your shopping cart. Well, I got the cart unstuck for him easily, and they're like, well, how did you do that? And I said, I don't know, I guess I was just fortunate. I gave a gospel card to the Anabaptist man and witnessed to him, gave the other guy a gospel card, and then I walked over to each of the drivers that were there driving the Amish. I almost said Amish. A man we know used to call him Amish. A driver was there for the Amish people. I witnessed and gave each of them a gospel card. And then I went back to Sister Amin and I said, that's what you call a gospel card blast. I gave about 8 or 10 gospel cards away really quick. I even left a couple in the store.
Yeah, and then...
And then what happened?
Then we were talking about it, and Brother Tupos looks out the door, and he goes, hey, there's that woman you witnessed to.
Well, actually, I said, there's a Mennonite-looking man.
Oh, okay, yeah, you did see
Didn't even
first.
See her.
Yep. And then you said, hey, that's that woman that you witnessed to. And he went over to witness to the man. Well, yep. I went with you.
Yep. And I talked to him for about 10 minutes and he was very receptive. We had a good receptive day because we actually met some Anabaptists that stood and listened. I don't know if they were just respecting because I'm an old man or what. But yeah, he said he's got to look into it. I challenged him on a lot of things. And, you know, they never have any answers, yet they still want to hold to their Anabaptist faith. I think there is one thing that really hit him. Sister Amon's probably going to talk about it. What really hit him, do you think, Sister Amon?
Oh, I was thinking of something else.
Well, when I said to him, what have you lost?
Yes, that part. Yeah.
What have you lost for Christ? He's born a Mennonite. He's in a Mennonite business. Mm-hmm. He's in a Mennonite family. He's in a Mennonite church. He's driving an almost brand new pickup truck. I said, what have you lost for Christ?
Yeah, that did really hit him.
And he just kind of looked at me and I said, I lost my career, my family, my friends, my children, my grandchildren, my reputation. I said, our land, we sold it to go travel. I said, we've lost everything for Christ, all to his glory. I said, what have you lost, young man?
And you said, what about your parents?
What about your parents? What has your dad lost? He's probably my age.
Yeah.
And he just kind of sat there looking at me. So he listened. He thanked us. Him and his wife went on their way. So that was perfect. You witnessed nice and in love to her. I witnessed nice and in love to him. And I always, you'll hear on the audios, I'm not yelling at people. I'm not calling them names. I do warn them at the end, if you don't repent, mm-hmm. the wrath of God is coming for
you.
That's
love.
And that's love, to tell them that truth.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, one thing, maybe I'll wait until the end and I'll yeah. say my thought.
And then so we hit the road and we're traveling. We had a good travel day. Sister Amon said in the beginning, we had like about a 25-mile-an-hour crosswind. It seems like the wind has just been all over Missouri and we broke into Iowa today. And
I have a scripture.
Oh, go ahead.
I do. Psalm 147:18. He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He caused the wind to blow when the waters flow.
Yeah.
The wind was blowing.
It was blowing today.
It still is. And last night.
It blew at our tail yesterday traveling. That really helped our gas mileage.
It did.
Today it was crosswind and it wasn't as good. And we traveled and we went to another Denton Benz. So we like to stop at Denton Benz because we save a lot of money. We stock up for food for us and for food to be able to give away and stuff. And what happened in the parking lot? Well, you went. I think you gave gospel cards to the ladies at the register.
I did, yep.
It's a Mennonite store. And then what happened in the parking lot? I followed an Amish man, young couple out.
Oh, this is funny. So I want to share this because I watched. Yeah. We were in the cooler section, the refrigerator section, and there was a young man, young woman with a little cute little...
Amish.
Sweet little one in the cart. And I saw Brother Tupos getting a gospel card out, and I thought, okay. And then I thought, no, he's probably not going to witness to him here. It's a little confined. And then we started meandering through the store, found a couple things, and... guess who was right in front of us in the checkout.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, it was perfect. We didn't time it that way. Sister Amon said, hey, look at this stuff on sale. We walked away from the register, didn't know where these Amish people were. I walked away from them. She's right. It was in the freezer section, pretty confined. I walked away and I said, doesn't seem right. I guess the Lord will line something else up if it's meant to be.
Yeah.
We looked at something else on sale. We come back to the cash register. There they are, right in front of us.
Yep. And when they checked out, Brother Tupos went out, I was checking the rest of
Sister Amon checked out the rest of the groceries. I followed them out the door, and they listened to us for about 10 minutes, listened to me for about 10 minutes, and I could tell that he was taking it in, and I didn't see her, but you said, what was she doing?
I did. I purposely stood over a little bit so I could see what she was going to do, because oftentimes... the women usually have like a scowl or something. Oftentimes,
they try to drag the men away.
Yeah, and I was kind of gauging her, and I smiled a couple times, and she was pretty serious, holding the little one. And I'm sorry, you talked about a whole lot. I can't remember what you said at a couple points, and she nodded her head at some key
points. I talked about the name. I talked about pagan holidays. I talked about them not focused on Christ crucified.
Yep.
I talked about them not loving their neighbors, and they live in community and make money, but they don't tell anybody the gospel.
I think that might have been one of them that she was nodding her head at. I just remember a couple times I was watching her, and I thought, wow, that was pretty good for an Amish person to agree to that.
I had an Anabaptist man tell me not long ago, he looked around and thought, all of our neighbors are going to hell, and he said, we're not doing anything about it. That bothered him. It was a younger man.
Yeah.
It bothered him. So, yeah, they listened, and that was awesome, and you said some Amish people were going by us, watching us when we were witnessing at the other place.
Oh, so they were, yeah.
It was like an Anabaptist blast today with other people getting the gospel on the way, and we didn't even plan it that way because I didn't even know we're rolling through Anabaptist country, but it turned out that way.
Yeah.
And so it was awesome. We have a special, and I was thinking about how loving the Father is. He's trained us. We have a special gospel card for Anabaptists that targets the areas they lack. The Father puts us right in front of them, whether it's playing basketball, in marketplaces, in Denton Bend food stores, along the road, at a Walmart, and we hand it to them, and it's like they have cancer they're dying of, and we hand them the cure.
Oh, I know.
And the Father puts it right in their hand. I just think that's awesome. And our job is done. Our phone number's on there. They can call us. We'll help them. We'll come back. We'll study with them. And our job is done. And I just think how gracious the Father is.
Yeah, he is. It's pretty awesome to not just Anabaptists, but everybody that we do.
I mean, it's anybody. Yeah.
And I wanted to say that, you know, we often talk about walking in the Spirit and maybe God opening up doors or lining things up. That doesn't mean we just blindly go through our life and God just sends people up to us, which does happen often.
Yeah, but we're looking.
Yeah, we're looking, we're watching, and we step, and sometimes we do kick a door open, if you want to say it that way.
Yep.
We go forth. We have to press forth to go to them.
Well, a good example is that Amish couple was in a freezer section, and I walked right by him, and I was waiting for him to look at me, and I was going to approach him, and it didn't happen. It was too confined. It was in their store. And I walked out of the freezer thing, and I said, if it's meant to be, Lord, you'll have to make it happen, because I'm not going to follow the man around. The Lord put them right at the cash register. I just kind of followed them out while they were by their car and talked to them. So we work like the covenant, the blood covenant. We work in unison with the Father. He doesn't do everything. We don't do everything. We work with him. And he lines things up, and then we willingly walk through the door.
Yeah, and what it is when you're walking in the Spirit, sisters, it's that it's not you don't hear a voice or anything, but it's just one of those things that it's almost like brought to your attention somebody, because both of us have had that, and I know sisters have. You know, just somebody you just feel really led to witness to.
There's the word led. The Bible says be led by the Holy Spirit. This morning, we were going to roll, and I said, I feel led to go to that marketplace. We went there, and look at three people got the gospel because of it.
Okay, and I felt led to go walk up to that Mennonite woman.
Right, yep.
And then it ended up you were able to witness to her husband, and they both got similar messages.
Yeah, so it all works out, and the truth goes out. God's glorified, so yeah. So then we rolled down the road, windblown, and we made it, praise God, to the town we're camped at tonight. We pulled over. We're at a little park area where we had dinner, and we're making our audio for you tonight. We actually took a little short walk along a beautiful little trail here. We get to see a lot of beautiful things. You took some pictures of flowers.
Yeah. Yeah, God's creation is all over, even in the midst of a city.
You got some scriptures for us.
Yeah, well, I wanted to go back to the witnessing, Romans 1:16, when we're talking about walking in the Spirit and being led, you got to pay attention to this too. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is of the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So when you're in the world and you're feeling led by the Spirit to go witness to somebody, that means people around are going to hear you speaking of the things of God.
Oh, yeah.
So the person you're talking to, if there's anybody else around, they're going to hear it too. So you can't be ashamed for the world, anybody, whether they're claiming Christ or not, to hear it. So,
And I want to say this too. We risk, because we're in private stores sometimes. We're in private parking lots. It's already happened to me. People will call the police. I'm just standing there talking to people, and I've actually been banned already from private parking lots for just being having gospel signs on the van or giving a gospel card. They tell you, don't come back, you're trespassing.
Yeah.
So we risk being out in the world, being lights for Christ, that people are going to go, what are they doing? Call the police on them. And they call the police on us. And so we risk that because we're not ashamed of the gospel.
Right, exactly. And no, we don't just go running around the parking lots targeting everybody and running through the store and targeting everybody.
We're spirit-led.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
We're spirit-led. We don't lift our voices up.
Right, and I'm not street preaching in their parking lots.
Yeah, it's just a casual one-on-one. And you know what? The way we do it, we always offer the person that we're speaking to, they can move, they can leave, they're not trapped behind a desk or a counter.
And when I say we're on private property, that means like businesses. We're allowed to be there as customers, and we're not trespassing until they ask you to leave. Then it's a trespass. We're there, we're at Walmart, we're at McDonald's, we're at these stores, we're not trespassing. As soon as they would call the police on us and the police say, they don't want you here, if I don't leave, now I'm trespassing. So we don't break any laws when we do these things.
No, it's just casual conversations, and it's rare when that actually happens.
So, and not at churches, it's not. They call the police on us all the time.
Oh, that's just a given.
When we're on public sidewalks.
Yeah.
We're not even on their property and they call the police
on us. Yeah, you know what? We could be on a sidewalk with a big grassy area between us and the parking lot, and then the parking lot between us and the church.
And they call the police.
And nobody's even by us.
And today I told two of the Anabaptist men that Anabaptist people have called the police on us. I said, do we look dangerous? And they looked at us and they, most of them say, oh, no, not at all. And I said, what are they doing calling the police on us? We just want to talk truth. And they just, like, shake their heads like, okay, I don't know what that's all about. And they're supposed to be non-resistant. So they call men with guns and billy clubs.
Yeah, some of them, like, shake their heads like, okay, that's a little unbelievable.
Why don't they call more Anabaptist men to come surround us and talk about the truth? That would be the most loving thing they could do.
Hey, that would be awesome. Yeah. You know what else I notice is they often, when we go through and we share the scriptures with them about their Anabaptist traditions and stuff and the sins, many times
they agree
that it's sin. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we keep the traditions. Well, yeah, that is kind of sinful. Well,
yeah, we love money more than anything.
Yeah.
The guy today admitted that they are focused on business more than anything.
Yeah. It's incredulous to me that somebody could just admit it and then just walk off and keep doing it.
Yet they're the ones that say you should live low and meager and live like Jesus with nothing, but they focus on money most of all. By the way, many of these Amish and Mennonites we witness to, you would be amazed. I venture to say many of them are probably millionaires. With their land and their money and their businesses, multimillionaires focused on business, roofing, plants, harvesting, crops, barns, mechanics.
There's some very, very wealthy communities. Yep. Yeah.
And
we
see down in Pinecraft, down in Florida, they go down and buy houses for $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
And so they admit this stuff, and we hopefully that their spirit, their conscience is pricked by the Holy Spirit. I want to go back to something you said, denying the Lord. I want to make sure that you understand something, brothers and sisters, if you're listening. Denying the Lord. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. Mm-hmm. That doesn't even mean that you stood up one day and said, hello, everyone, I deny the Lord today. No, what that means, you know what that can mean? Mm-hmm. The Lord puts the training and the words and everything in your heart to go tell somebody the truth. But because you're embarrassed of the gospel, you don't want to be persecuted, you're afraid, you're timid, you're fearful, you don't go and tell them the truth. You just deny the Lord.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wrote about that.
You just denied the Lord. Yeah. So watch out for that. If you're not doing what God's calling you to walk in, you're denying the Lord.
Yeah. And what was it I was just talking to you about today? Having a gospel card, especially for women who don't get to get out and witness much.
Yeah.
Having a gospel card is awesome because if you get somebody who will actually take it and maybe talk to you, you can pull out your gospel card. You can read it to them and explain it.
It kind of
helps
you,
you know, because if you're nervous, you're not used to doing it until you get to do it more. You can just read it and explain it. The Spirit will help you. And you can, like we do, we got it on both sides. One side's the gospel. The other side's warning about man-made religion. You can walk through that. And it's a wonderful way to help guide you.
Amen.
You don't have to try to rely on your memory to keep going. The Lord will give it to you, but it does take some time.
There's power in the written word, like the written word of God.
There is. Yeah. So that's what I was saying. We're all without excuse.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have more scriptures or more thoughts?
I do. This kind of goes along with the Anabaptists we see. Well, man-made religion, but Anabaptists really. Matthew 15:3, but he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?
Yep.
Somebody just said that.
Yeah, the guy today challenged when I said, you know, Mark 7 says you worship God in vain, keeping man-made traditions. And he said, only if we go against the word of God. And I said, well, you're lying. You're practicing lies. You're not in spirit and truth. You're adding and taking away from God's word. And they couldn't argue with that. They even knew. If you add to God's word, you get the plagues added. If you take away from the word, you get taken out of the God's book of life. They even knew that. And I said, you're doing that. And they just kind of looked at me.
Yeah, so what they're referring to is, this is what they're violating, Mark 7:8, for laying aside the commandment of God.
Yep.
That's what they do. I didn't finish reading it, but yeah, they lay it aside for their traditions instead of doing what God says. Yeah, and their traditions negate the word of God. We saw that today.
Oh, yeah.
With the Amish man keeping his hat on.
Oh, yeah, he's got a little black hat he wears. Got to wear the black hat.
Yep, so he's got his hat on. The Bible says he's supposed to have his head uncovered, so he laid aside God's command to keep the tradition of his Ordnung, or whatever you want to call it.
Exactly. And just like the Amish youth, they're supposed to be sober-minded and about the things of God. They're out there running around in their flesh. You could see it on the video. Young, covered women running around, acting like a bunch of hooligans, diving and everything, playing softball.
Yeah, you know, and it was pretty cold out last night, so they were pretty well covered. I can't imagine what it's like in the summertime, them running around doing
that. These people weren't just like tapping a ball and having some fun. They're playing serious, competitive baseball.
This is what you see worldly people do in their...
It's what I did before I was born of Christ.
Yeah. I was never into sports world.
So, the Anabaptists are guilty of that. The churchianity people are guilty of that. So, yeah, that's a great point.
So, we just loved our neighbor.
Yeah, amen.
And shared a bunch of truth with them. So, it was pretty awesome how it went today.
Amen. Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. I wanted to share all this witnessing, whether it's Anabaptists or worldly people, makes me think of a scripture verse about loving others. 1 John 2:10-11. He that loveth his brother, now whether or not there are brothers or not, I'm not saying, abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, walketh in darkness, knoweth not whether he goeth, because darkness hath blinded his eyes. I say that these people, whether they're Anabaptist, Catholic, Mormon, Jehovah Witness, non-denom, evangelical, they don't love us. They don't come to bring us truth. They don't come to correct us. They just disregard because they know we're preaching against them. They're walking in darkness. They don't love.
Yeah, and I guess when you think about hating, if you saw somebody driving off a cliff and they didn't know it, and you knew it and didn't tell them, you hate them.
Yeah. They will accuse us of being a cult. And you know what? They throw that out there so frivolously. And then they let us go. And they willingly could care less to give us any direction, rebuke, scripture, guidance, correction. Wrong, yeah. They never say, could we just meet with you and just talk? Nothing. All they ever want to do is defend their own sin. Because see, we're shining the light of Christ. They are defending and sitting in darkness. And I always say it. What do cockroaches and criminals do when light comes? They run. They hide.
The hirelings flee when the wolf comes.
The hirelings flee because they cannot defend the truth from their position. We have really good defense because we have the offensive word of God and the Hebrews 4:12 sword.
I love that.
Any other thoughts, Sister Ahmed, or any other scriptures?
No other thoughts on that, but I just have an ending scripture verse here. Mark 8:35-37. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So I think about, so what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, like metal roofing and sheds and produce stands.
And part of a big Mennonite church, because they always say, there's more of us than you.
Yeah, and then they lose their soul.
They lose their soul. I told this young man today, I said, you're trading the truth of God and you're trading your souls for comfort, peace, and safety. Because I told him how the Anabaptists used to be rabid to go preach the gospel, but they traded it for peace and safety on farms and in communities. And he looked at me and he said, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's why they stopped preaching the gospel, young man, because they lost the gospel years ago and they traded it for business, community, and Sunday church.
Yeah. Yeah, he got a lot of truth. They all did.
That's a great scripture right there. So we hope that edified you, our witnessing, and all of this was done. You'll be able to listen to the audio. Go check the video. Like, people always lie and say, no screaming, no yelling, no name calling, no mean-spirited. Yeah, some boldness. We went up, I boldly preached to them, told them if they don't repent, they're going to lose their souls, told them we love them, invited them to talk about the truth of God. This is what preaching is. It's not a guy behind a box on Sunday. It's going out and proclaiming. In fact, I told every man and that man today what preaching is. A man going out and being a public crier, heralding the gospel out in the world. And I said, Jesus did it. John the Baptist did it. Paul did it. Peter did it. They all kind of looked at me, and I know what men are thinking, and they go, I haven't even thought about that. They think a preacher is a guy behind their Sunday box. They're not realizing that's exactly what the disciples in the Bible did. And guess what? They love their forefathers so much, that's exactly what their forefathers were doing. They did not sit in a building behind a pew. They went out and preached the gospel in the streets and in the world.
Right, and I want to throw in there that Paul commends a lot of the women who labored in the word with him alongside. They weren't just sitting home cooking and cleaning for him. Yep. They were out there working in the gospel with him.
Amen. So hopefully that edified you. And again, we made it safe to our spot. Tomorrow we're going to be rolling down the road going further. And if things work out, I'll just say this. Tomorrow night, we might have a special spot to stay that's not our norm. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, let's see.
We'll see. And you'll have pictures and some description of that if it works out. I want to leave us with this thought about being faithful. Revelation 17:14. These shall make war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, And they that are with him are called chosen and faithful. That's what I want to be.
Ooh, I like that.
I want to be.
I'm gonna have to go back and read that.
I want to be one of the faithful. And that's what we're trying to do out here, is just striving to be faithful to the Lord first, then love our neighbors, tell the truth. We can't compromise on the truth. We can't tell you you're okay when you're not okay. We can't join false religion because we love the truth. It's just Christ. So we're just trying to be faithful to the truth and point the light and be salt.
And we'd like to share it with you. We'd like to share our zeal, our experiences, our thoughts, and everything. So maybe it will encourage you. Speaking to the sisters here, you know.
And even our mistakes. When we do stuff wrong, we come back and say, we got to get that right.
Oh, yeah. I've confessed on the sisters area before. Yeah. Because I don't want my sisters doing.
It's all part of the process of learning, growing, following Christ. But every day steadfast, enduring in the faith, walking in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, repenting of all your sin and worldliness and false religion. If you're born again, I'm preaching the gospel to you, you will walk in holiness and obedience and root out everything not of the Father, like all these religions we talk about, and the culture, and pride and vanity, and all the rest, and endure in the faith every day. That's the gospel.
I love that. Amen. Yeah. That saves.
Yeah. So we're going to leave it right there. If the Lord gives us tomorrow, we'll be down the road. We'll tell you about that special place that we think we might be able to park at, and we'll bring you more edification tomorrow. Check out the Ecclesia Gathering area. I'm going to have an offering there. And check out the edification page. We have a travel video. And we have that Mennonite video that is up there.
Uh-huh.
And it will edify and it will bless you.
Yeah, praise God.
All right, strive for the kingdom of God. We love you all.
May God be praised.
Amen, sister.